The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 2, text number 27, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 18th, 2009, in Vrindavan, India.
So today we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity to study the Bhaktivedanta purports here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 2, Daksha curses Lord Shiva, text number 27.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tasyaivam vadata shapam. Shrutavadvija kulaya vai. Brighu prasrajat chapam. Brighu prasyasvijat chapam. Ramadandam darajyayam. Tasyaivam vadata shapam. Shrutavadvija kulaya vai. Brighu prasyasvijat chapam. Ramadandam darajyayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When all the hereditary Brahmins were thus cursed by Nandishvara, the sage Bhrigu, as a reaction, condemned the followers of Lord Shiva with this very strong Brahminical curse. Purport. The word daratyaya is particularly used in reference to a brahmadanda, or curse by a Brahman. A curse by a Brahman is very strong. Therefore, it is called daratyaya, or insurmountable. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, the stringent laws of nature are insurmountable. Similarly, if a curse is uttered by a Brahman, that curse is also insurmountable. But Bhagavad Gita also says that the curses or benedictions of the material world are, after all, material creations. The Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms that that which is accepted in this material world to be a benediction and that which is taken to be a curse are both on the same platform because they are material. To get out of this material contamination, one should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as recommended in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tadantite. The best path is to transcend all material curses and benedictions and take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna and remain in a transcendental position. Persons who have taken shelter of Krishna are always peaceful. They are never cursed by anyone, nor do they attempt to curse anyone. That is a transcendental position.
Shri Guru. Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagrajada Bhagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajima Sadaitam Vavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
Transcendental position, that's where it's really at. Beyond the curses and benedictions of this material world. Then you don't have to worry. You're transcendentally situated. Actually, for the devotee of the Lord, one who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he sees everything as Krishna's blessing. There's no such thing as curse, actually. Everything is benediction. Even if it is so-called curse, it is blessing, you see. Because is not Krishna all-merciful? Does Krishna ever have an unmerciful day when he is not merciful to us, his children? He is loving Father. He is always bestowing blessing. So we simply have to see how the hand of Krishna is acting at every minute, in every situation. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's really worth cultivating that vision, because then the mind becomes completely peaceful. Tatenu kampam su samikshamano punjana evatmakritang bapaham tadvagbapurvirvadadang namaste jiveta yomukti padesa dayabhak. Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear Lord, those persons who are always awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue offering you respectful obeisances from within the cores of their hearts, even while they're undergoing the reactions for their past misdeeds, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So that's how we get our ticket to Golok. Easy. That confirmed space on the airplane. We have to see that everything is Krishna's mercy. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. We have to see all of it as the mercy of Krishna. Krishna will never let us down. We find it easy or preferred when things are going very nicely. But that is our conditioning, because Kunti Devi is praying for just the opposite. Krishna, give me the suffering. That's what I like the best, because that's when I'm more Krishna conscious. I can't pray that way. I'm praying for the opposite. But Kunti Devi, she's begging. Vipadarshan titashyatva tatra tatra jagadn guru bhavanam darshanam yachad apunarbhava darshanam. My dear Lord Krishna, please give me more and more difficulties. Put me into more and more distress. Please, Krishna, more distress. Because when I'm in distress and I have nothing to do except take shelter of you, when I'm taking shelter of you, and there's no more seeing the repetition of birth and death. Of course, Krishna is very kind. Even if we don't ask for it, he gives us so much distress. So the key is, when distress comes, you could call it the curse of material nature. When distress comes, don't be stressed. Don't be stressed with distress. It's easy to say these words, but to actually practice it is very, very difficult. That's a fact. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but trying to give the impression that it's easy, because it's not. But to cultivate that vision, that transcendental vision, that's the most valuable thing we can do in Krishna consciousness. It's the most valuable thing we can do. Very valuable thing. And we have all help to do that. We're not alone. We have the wonderful Vaishnava Sangha. We have Prabhupada's mercy. We have all the Acharyas. We have Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. We have all help to empower us, to enable us to actually develop this transcendental vision. You just have to take advantage of it. Simply take advantage of all the mercy which is being given to us. And we develop that equal vision towards all circumstances, seeing everything as the merciful, loving kindness of our beloved Sri Krishna. That's when Krishna will actually reveal himself. Prabhupada ordered me to qualify myself to see Krishna. I have a long way to go, but that was a wonderful order he personally gave me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So, what is that qualification? We have to develop that mood of complete, pure devotion. Seeing how everything is the mercy of Krishna at every minute, and just trying to reciprocate with that unlimited mercy being showered upon us at every minute. Actually, even non-devotees, they're also getting... Everyone's getting Krishna's mercy at every minute. Are you getting the kicks of Maya, or are you getting the prasad from the hand of your spiritual master? It is all the mercy of Krishna. Ye yatag mang prapadyante tang stathayu bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So Krishna's reward is there at every minute for everyone. How would you like to be rewarded? We have our choice. We can choose the material energy or the spiritual energy. We are not robots. We're not zombies. We have the choice. We have the free will to act either under the spiritual energy or the material energy. Shri Gaurinitai ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Radha Sham Sundar ki jai. So our Krishna Ganges movement is to educate everyone what are your choices? In material consciousness, they don't realize they have a choice. They're simply being carried along the conveyor belt of the material energy, just like a piece of equipment going on a conveyor belt in a factory being assembled. They're just rolling down the assembly line, being manipulated by the modes of nature. But we have a choice. Do we want to remain within the grips of the trigunas, or do we want to get out of that grip? You see, we have that choice. It's not depending on karma when we take to Krishna consciousness. That depends on the mercy of the spiritual master. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadai Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. But we have to choose to reciprocate with that mercy also. If there's a seed planted, you can water that seed or you can neglect that seed. We have that choice. The pure devotee comes, he plants the seed of bhakti in the heart, in the garden of the heart. Then it is up to us, do we want to water that seed? Do we want to weed the garden by giving up illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling? Do we want to protect that garden by building a very sturdy fence around it so no mad elephant of Hatimata, you see, mad elephant of fence can get in, you see? That is the greatest enemy of our Krishna consciousness, if we become offensive towards Vaishnavas. Because that immediately takes that creeper and smashes it. So how to avoid offenses to Vaishnavas? Some people say, well, I got the perfect solution. I'm just going to go to the forest. I won't associate with devotees. That way I won't offend them. But that's also an offense. Because we're ordered to associate with devotees. So how do we associate in such a way that we don't commit offense? It's very simple. You just have to worship the devotees. Very simple thing. As Narottam Das Thakur confirms, Anande Bolo Hari Vajra Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Mojai Aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, Ananda Bolo Hari, and worship the Holy Dham. And worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So not only my Guru am I to worship, you see. I must worship all Vaishnavas. That is Krishna consciousness. So, if I'm worshipping, then I'm not committing offense. It's a very simple thing. Therefore, you're my Prabhu, you're my master. You see, you're my Mataji, you're my mother. And I bow down at your feet, you see. This is worship. So in this way, there is no offense. In this way, we're able to actually engage in these wonderful six loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. How to go deeper and deeper and deeper into this ocean of Vaishnava Sangha. And then the creeper will really take root. We can only develop a taste for the name to that extent that we have taste for Vaishnava Sangha. You can't separate them. Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta chate janaha. Krishna says, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta. He's not my devotee. My devotee is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, if we want to be devotees of Krishna, we have to be devotees of the devotees. Simple thing. So Prabhupada has created a wonderful, wonderful Sangha, ISKCON, filled up with so many wonderful devotees. Actually, these devotees are in this movement, they are all manifestations of Prabhupada's mercy. So the more we can connect with the devotees, the more we are connecting with Srila Prabhupada. And the more we are connecting with the holy names, the holy Dham, and everything in relationship with Krishna. So that when that seed comes in the heart, we protect ourselves by wonderful Vaishnava association. We water that seed by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and making sure no weeds get in that garden, illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling, and all the other ones too, false pride, possessiveness, so many things. So in this way, we take very good care of that seed, which is coming of the mercy of spiritual master and Krishna. Then that seed, that little, it'll come out, that seedling will come out, it will burst through the coverings of the universe. Those coverings are very thick. What we see at night, this huge, vast expanse of outer space, it's a little pinhead compared to the coverings. One time I did the math, but I forget the numbers. It's a humongous covering, inconceivably thick. You could never blast through with dynamite. There's no way you could get through with dynamite. Only by the power of the holy name can we penetrate these coverings of the universe. So, by this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, diving deeper and deeper into this ocean of the holy names, then we'll actually be liberated from this dark material existence. And we will regain Svarup, our original identities in the transcendental kingdom of Krishna. Actually, we have that identity. Simply we've forgotten. Every one of us has an identity in the spiritual existence. Svarup. We have forgotten it. That day will come and we will be back in our original identity with Krishna. So, Krishna Ganas means to work for that day. When you can regain your original identity in the spiritual existence. And to give educational program that everyone can come. That is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that everyone should come back to home, back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya is in great anxiety to see so many people suffering here. His beloved part and parcels, they are suffering like anything in this material existence. It's breaking Lord Chaitanya's heart to see. He wants everyone back. So, those persons who take up this mission of assisting Lord Chaitanya in bringing the conditioned souls back to home, back to God, they are most dear. Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, there's no one more dear to me than the preacher, nor will there ever be anyone more dear than the preacher of Krishna consciousness. So in this age, this is how we can advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. If we will simply take up this mood of sharing the mercy, that's all. Don't be a miser. Share this mercy. You see, this is Krishna consciousness. We are meant to make a revolution, not just to sing and dance and eat chapatis in our temples. We are meant to turn the whole world into temple. Actually, there's nothing more ecstatic than taking up this mood of spreading Krishna consciousness. It's the supreme nectar. Sankirtan ras. It's just oozing with unlimited nectar, just like the ultimate gulab jamun. With unlimited oceans of glub juice oozing out. That's a sankirtan. The more you share the mercy, the more you get the mercy. Therefore, those who are actually intelligent, they preach like anything. The more they preach, the more I share the nectar, the more I get the nectar. Actually, it's selfish. Preaching is selfish. It's just selfishness. It's pure transcendental selfishness. Because the more I preach, the more I taste the nectar. The more I give, the more I empower and help other people to taste the nectar, the more I taste the nectar. So Krishna, just please fully utilize me as your instrument for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. You see, this is the prayer of the Sankirtan devotee. Just please fully utilize me as your instrument. With my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. Please, Krishna, fully utilize me as your instrument for pushing forward this movement. They call that sitting pretty. You see? That's when we're really situated. You see, that's Prabhupada showed us then. Right now we're worried about our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But we need to, you know, move our consciousness to the other side. There's a wonderful prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He actually begs for them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, actually now I'm just thinking about my eating, sleeping, and mating, and defending. But I'm hankering for that day when I can be a true Sankirtan devotee. It's that song, Kabe Habe, Bola Se Dinama, you see. When thoughts of myself comforting, when will I set out to preach the command divine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? Kabe habe bolo se dinamo. Bhaktivinoda is hankering. You see, now I'm just thinking about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. When will I truly become a Sankirtan devotee, you see? And forget about my own sense gratification. Just think about saving the fallen souls. When, oh when, will that day be mine? He's hankering, hankering, hankering. When will I achieve that consciousness? You see? So Bhaktivinoda showed us how, even though he is not a sense gratifier, he showed us how we should pray, what our mood should be. That's his great kindness upon us. So if we will take advantage of the kindness of these great, great acharyas who have blazed this trail through the dense, dark wilderness of Kali. If we will take advantage of these great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and our most beloved founder acharya, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya. Asta Tarasada Shishimad Esi Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Then it will be clear sailing back to home, back to God. All the obstacles will be removed. There will be no more impediment by the material energy. So let us pray for that. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
You were mentioning about.
I'll probably have better luck without the mic, but go ahead, you can try with the mic.
You were mentioning about associating with devotees. And I wanted to ask about being in the dump, associating with devotees, and trying not to make offense. If in Kali Yuga, offenses in the mind are not considered, what is calculated? What offenses, or how are the offenses calculated in the Dham?
Well, the Dham magnifies everything 1,000 times, so you really want to be on your best behavior in the Dham. And it is stated that in the Kali Yuga, you don't get the reaction for thinking things. And in other words, in previous Yugas, if you thought something, it was just as bad as if you had done it. But that doesn't mean we're off scot-free, that I can think all nonsense and it's okay, because thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Vedic psychology, you see. If you're thinking something, you know, jayato vishayam pum sang sangatation, in this way, if you're thinking bad thoughts, then it leads to having bad feelings and bad will and then bad actions. So you really have to nip it in the bud. As soon as I see bad thoughts, to really immediately nip it. We have to be like policemen over our own mind, you see. You've got to be a good cop over your own mind. Standing on guard, you know, with your gun ready to shoot when your mind gets out of line, you know. We really do. I mean, the mind is really a rascal, like these Vrindavan monkeys, you know. The mind will just come in and, you know, steal by your Krishna consciousness. Oh, look at that woman over there. Isn't she beautiful? She's really pretty. You see? And then all these thoughts start coming. And then you lose your Krishna consciousness. You see? So you really have to be vigilant. And as soon as we see the mind is getting off the track, and we really have to train ourselves not to have bad thoughts about Vaishnavas. Because then they lead into bad words and bad actions. It doesn't mean you have to blindly think that everybody is a Paramahamsa. But it means you should see, you should look for the good quality in everyone. Even if they have so many disqualifications, you should see the good. You must see the good as more important than the bad qualities. You see, everyone has a combination of good and bad qualities, Prabhupada explains. But the Vaishnava, he is the one who is like the bee. He is looking for the honey. He's not the fly looking for the sower. So if I'm actually a Vaishnava, you see, then I should see any jiva, even a non-devotee that I see. I should see some good qualities. I must look for the good qualities in everyone. That is Vaishnava. Again, it doesn't mean I blindly have to think everyone's a pure devotee. Because if I thought that way, then I'd be imitating all of their bad qualities. I have to make a distinction between the good and the bad, but it's not that I'm all, I'm really happy when I see the faults, because then I'm one up on them, you see. No. I should humbly think, how can I serve this person to help him become stronger in those wonderful good qualities that he has? That's the mood of a Vaishnava. He's not proud, he's not haughty. He's just thinking, how can I help this person? This person is very dear to Krishna. How can I help him to become Krishna conscious? So in this way, we look for the good, wonderful qualities in everyone, especially here in the Dham, where you get 1,000 times benefit. Then you will become very, very... Then your own good qualities will come out. It is sometimes said, you become like that which upon you are meditating. If I'm looking around, well, you have this devotee is a fault, this devotee is fault, this devotee is fault, this devotee is fault. Guess what's coming out of me? My faults are becoming predominant. If my vision of everyone else is fault vision, that means my own faults are becoming more and more predominant. But if you're looking for the good in everyone, that means your good qualities become more and more predominant. You become like that which upon you are meditating. So you want to become good, you want to become pure, then meditate on the good, pure qualities that are there in the devotees. See those good, pure qualities in the Vaishnavas. And that will amplify, that will enhance, that will increase the good qualities in your heart. Does that answer your question a little bit?
A little bit. But how are... the offense is calculated, like, is it based on the actions on oneself?
Well, offenses in this age are manifest especially in speech and in actions. You haven't really committed offense, and you know, you haven't, just by thinking a bad thought, it's not that you've, that has manifested as an action. But actually, bad thoughts are offensive. They're not the same as actually saying it out loud or doing something, but they are offensive. It is offensive to have a bad thought, there's no doubt. If I think you're an absolute demon, you see, then my thought is very offensive. I shouldn't think that. If I think, yeah, he's just a Jagai Madai nonsense character, You see? If I think that about you, then I'm committing an offense in the mind.
So that's calculated?
Huh?
That's calculated?
Yes. Yamaraj is taking note. Prabhupada explained here in Vrindavan. He said Krishna has his ledger book and Yamaraj has his ledger book. Everything is being noted. Even your thoughts are being noted. It's not the same as if you spoke it or did it, but it is happening. It's a real thing. You're thinking bad thoughts. It's a real thing. And it's being noted by higher authorities. That's a fact. It's not that they're oblivious. They can only see what you're speaking and what you're doing. They're not aware of what you're thinking. The higher authorities are also aware of what you're thinking. So, clean up the thoughts. Yes, Maharaj.
Just, I think, in that regard, one point would be that if you think badly, just some materialistic person thinks badly of doing, you know, some illicit activity. In Kali Yuga, they may not get any reaction until they do it. But if we think offensively, this is something now in the context of devotional service of Krishna consciousness. And what happens is not the same as what happens for material activity. So in other words, if you think badly, spiritually, offensively about a devotee, you'll get a reaction because that's a spiritual offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a material. If you think badly, some materialistic person thinks badly about another materialistic person, they don't get a reaction just for thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But we will get a reaction if we think badly about devotees. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a spiritual offense.
Yeah.
As opposed to
a... I agree 100%. That's a fact. If I'm thinking bad thoughts about devotees, I will suffer. That's a fact. I'll definitely suffer reactions. So many types of reactions, there's no doubt. It's worse if you speak it out loud, but... you know, to directly say it out loud to the devotee, that's much worse. But that doesn't mean by thinking it there's no reaction. There is a reaction, definitely. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned that the instruction of Prabhupada said that qualify yourself to see God, to see Krishna. Mm. Who says that do not try to see God, but try to serve God in such a way that He wants to see you.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile?
How do you correlate those two instructions? Yeah. We've always heard in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura said, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God will see you. So how in that context Prabhupada can say, now you qualify yourself to see Krishna? Well, the answer is that that's how you qualify yourself to see Krishna. Because when He wants to see you, that's when you'll see Him. You understand? When Krishna wants to see you, that's when you're going to see Him. But you can't force your way in. You can't gate crash your way into the spiritual world. You see? And when Krishna wants to see you because you become such a wonderful devotee, you render such nice service, I want to see that devotee, then you will see Him. So that's the way I understand.
Could you just elaborate? Could you just elaborate a little bit about this instruction of Prabhupada? Is that Prabhupada personally told you? Prabhupada told personally that you should qualify?
Yes, he wrote me a letter. He said, now you just qualify, quote, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. The direct order from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to little old me.
Was it in a particular context?
The context?
Yeah, the letter was in
a context. The context of the letter was this, that before I came to this movement, I was a songwriter. And I was asking about writing Krishna conscious songs. And Prabhupada was telling me how I could become really qualified to really write. Really, you know, he was encouraging me to become qualified to be able to write like Narottam Das Thakur by becoming qualified to see Krishna. And then I could really write, really, really write real Vaishnava songs. You know? He was encouraging me in my songwriting. And now you disqualify to see, and then you can really write songs about Krishna like that.
Yes,
any other question? Yes.
When you talk about seeing the process, as means you talk about that we should cultivate the vision to see the process as a mercy of the Lord. So what is the cultivation part involved? It just happens because when you perform pure devotional service, it's just a concomitant result of that or a separate endeavor?
Somebody help me, I can't make it up.
How do you see the curses as the mercy of the Lord?
Oh. If I'm cursed, how do I see it as mercy of Krishna? Well, if I'm cursed, that means actually that person is not the cause of who cursed me. He is not the cause of my curse. But actually, he's simply the delivery boy for my own past sinful reactions. You see, by this curse, I'm burning off the reactions from my past sinful activities and becoming more and more qualified to regain my original position of pure bhakti. So there, in that sense, the curse is blessing.
What does the cultivation part involve? You said we should cultivate this vision.
You better help me again.
How do you cultivate this vision?
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati mentioned beating the mind with shoes and broomstick. I find that technique is pretty good. We just have to remind ourselves again and again and again. It's just like, you know, it's called Shastra Chakshus. We have to see through the eyes of the scripture. We see through the eyes of our own sense gratification. That's our problem. If it's good for my senses, if my senses like it, oh, it's very good. If my senses don't like it, it's very bad. You see, that's our vision. We have to say, no, 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 senses. You've got it all wrong. This is the way. Prabhupada is showing us the way. You've got to tell yourself again and again and again and again and again and again. It's the same technique I use for memorizing verses. I don't have a very good memory, but I learned a lot of verses I call it throwing the mud against the wall until some of it sticks. Just keep throwing the mud, and finally some of it will stick. So you just got to keep telling yourself again and again and again. A million, even a million times, 10 billion times. You're not your body. You're the eternal spirit soul. You're the servant of Krishna. If you keep telling yourself long enough, sooner or later you'll believe it. You see? It's just being, you have to be a very good propagandist over your own mind. It's like, who was that propagandist that Hitler employed? I forget his name. He's a very expert propagandist.
Joseph Goebbels.
Brummel?
Goebbels.
Yeah, Goebbels is very expert propagandist. So you have to be like a Goebbels, transcendental Goebbels over your own mind, you see. Completely propagandize yourself that I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul, and, you know, everything that comes is Krishna's blessing to help me to come back to Him. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Near the end of your talk, you were describing about Bhaktivinoda's mood. And you mentioned something that I thought you said it's called sitting pretty.
Sitting pretty. That's a saying, an American saying. Well situated. Yeah. Yeah. Wait till the bell goes and I get an earache from it. Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj, for your Sangha. So, continue.
Can you say a little more about that?
Hmm?
Say a little more about it.
Being well situated in Krishna consciousness? Sitting pretty on the transcendental platform? That's at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That's where you're really sitting pretty. It'd be a speck of dust and his lotus feet, then you're really sitting pretty. Well situated. The Matajis don't ask questions. What's going on back there? Okay, anything else? One more, all right. This will be the last one. Okay. Go ahead, my dear sir.
After listening your speech, I feel that Indian students like me needs a very big frantic training to understand what you say, because your speech accent and this R-O-R-O, that is intonation.
Put the mic away from the mic a little bit.
Phonetics to understand what you say. That's why I feel. Right. Of course, I'm a teacher of phonetics, so I can understand. But I think that most of the Indian students get a very hardship, very difficulty to understand what you say. After all, they may be post-graduate in English. They may be post-graduate in English. They may be very learned person. Okay.
All right. All right. Yeah. What's he saying? What can I do? I have an American conditioning. Hindi bolo nahi. Okay, thank you very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.